This week, parties, drugs, and notoriety are all left behind after learning of a surprise pregnancy. But early financial success, including big houses, new cars, and lots of toys, isn't enough to fill the void created by childhood trauma, coerced parental alienation, and attempted suicide. Welcome to My Crazy Divorce.
Failure as a husband, I'm a failure as a man.
It's just, I'm beautiful and I'm bright and I deserve better.
It's a great day, I'm feeling good. Oh, the possibilities of what I could, oh, do with the world at my fingertips. My imagination brings a smile up to my lips. Oh.
We've had some pretty crazy divorce stories on our show. Some are crazy because of the money spent. Others because of how long the divorce took. There's been infidelity, domestic violence, attempted murder, and so much more. In every case, there was a clear villain, someone to despise at the end of the show. I mean, the good guys always win, right? Well, today's story is crazy for a different reason. Today's show doesn't really have a villain. Our guest is still in love with her ex-husband. She never stopped loving him. But still, she chose to leave. Sounds crazy, right? I can't wait to share her story. But first, I have some exciting news. If you'll remember from our very first episode called Teen Love Gone Very, Very Bad, Christina and Brad were still working through their divorce when we recorded the show. Christina promised to come back and give us an update, and she's kept that promise. Here's the update.
The divorce was finalized, finally, after 2 years of hell. Honestly, it was hell. It was literally hell. But 2 years it took from start to finish to get this divorce. I got divorced February 10th of this year. Best Valentine's Day present ever. But, you know, we wound up, little backstory, we didn't go to trial. We could have. Everyone has the option to trial and divorce, but the road to trial is insane. We had two mediations before we settled, and it would have went to another if we had not. And then also another one after that before trial. So needless to say, it's a crazy lengthy process that costs a ton of money. And we wound up settling. I wound up settling for a lot less than I would have liked to. Going to court, I would have got half of his 401k. I walked away from half. I didn't care. I just wanted my peace back. I honestly did. And, you know, I walked away from a lot of things. I settled on 3 years alimony when I could have got 7 years alimony. It was to the point of where I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to do it anymore. I just wanted my peace back. So, you know, we went in there on February 10th. It was a Zoom call, which was great because I didn't have to see his face in person. You know, when you're going to court and things like that, there's not just you. So we got lucky and it was for 10 a.m. We wound up seeing the judge at 11 a.m. So we were the second ones. We went in there, they asked a bunch of questions. They asked us to make sure if we wanted our divorce. You know, basic questions. Do you know what you signed? Do you know what you agreed to? And then when they asked him, wait for this. When they asked him if he had any, you know, if there was any shot of reconciliation, he paused for a whole 30 seconds. When I tell you that 30 seconds felt like 2 hours. So the judge didn't like that he paused for a long time. And then he asked him again, Mr. So-and-so, are you sure you'd like to get a divorce today? And he paused again for another 10 seconds. And then he finally said yes. Thank God. So it was very cut and dry because we settled. It wasn't like going to court where you're fighting over. Everything was already set up for us. So we just had to go and acknowledge that we knew what we signed. We knew what we agreed to. And, you know, we got divorced.
I'm so glad it's finally over so Christina can get started on whatever comes next for her. I wish her only the best. Now, before we get started with today's story, let me remind you that I'm not an attorney or a therapist. Nothing I say should be considered legal advice or therapy. So if you need help with a crazy divorce, find a really good attorney. If you're having mental health issues, find a really good therapist. And if you have a crazy divorce story you'd like to share on our show, go to mycrazydivorce.com and click on the Apply to be a Guest button. I'd really love to hear from you, like I heard from Lauren, today's guest. Lauren was born and raised in Orange County, California, to whatever the opposite of the nuclear family is.
I was child three of a single mom of four, so I've got two older siblings, an older sister, an older brother, and then I have a little sister. And we all share the same mom. My two oldest have a different dad, and then my youngest sister and I have the same dad.
Despite the fact that her family is anything but traditional, her relationship with her siblings ebbs and flows like any other family.
I think anybody who has multiple siblings knows you fluctuate in between the relationships and certain age periods. You're really tight and you talk. And then more recently, I'm rebuilding a relationship with my oldest sister. My brother and I don't really have a relationship. And my little sister and I are best friends for months. And then we go through these like hiatus periods where we don't like each other, can't stand each other, and just cut each other off.
Like she said, she was raised by a single mother. But what happened to her dad?
My dad was in and out of the picture. He was more in the picture when I was growing up. He was an addict. He was abusive. Their custody agreement, it was just, my home life growing up was very chaotic. It was very unsafe, violent. There was a lot of yelling and physical, you know, it wasn't child friendly. And I know that my mom tried, and I know that my dad was sick now that I'm an adult. But, you know, growing up watching this stuff, you adapt this sense of unsafety. But as a kid, you don't even have the words that like can that tell you that like, oh, this is not good.
Every time I have a guest whose parents set such a horrible example, I'm even more grateful to my parents for the charmed childhood that they provided for me. Although I'm 100% sure they argued and fought, I literally never heard my parents even disagree, let alone fight. I can just as easily imagine my parents fighting as I can imagine them both sprouting horns. It's just not going to happen. As Lauren and I discussed the contrast in our childhood experience, Lauren made a statement that hit me like a ton of bricks and plays a huge role in her marriage and the rest of her life.
So I think being in a toxic household, it showed me what toxic is. So chaos, abuse, physical, emotional, mental, that was all normal. That was my standard of home growing up. You feel like this is normal. This is my normal. So this is what I deserve. I can't even imagine what parents not fighting looks like.
If you have children and you're listening to this, if you get nothing else out of today's episode, please listen to that last part again and take it to heart. Lauren thought it was normal to live in a toxic environment. She learned, or was taught early on, that it's what she deserved. Nobody, especially your children, deserve to live in a toxic household, so please don't allow it to happen. In addition to being abusive, an addict, and half of the toxic parents in Lauren's life, Lauren's father was also very neglectful when he did spend time with Lauren.
He's left me in a car to go into like a whorehouse for hours. And I woke up in the car and I randomly walked into this house. I had no clue where I was. And I found the house. And all I see is all these naked women with old men. And there's a child in this house. And this one woman was like, what are you doing here? Like, you need to leave. And I was like, I'm just looking for my dad.
That's not good at all. I hope her mom stepped in at that point.
So that was, our relationship was on and off until I was about 10. And my mom sat me down and him down and was like, Lauren, if you don't want your dad here, you have to kick him out. And so at 10 years old, I'm having this conversation with my dad saying, I don't want you here.
No way. Can you even imagine doing that to your 10-year-old kid?
So I didn't really have a relationship with him until I was old enough to kind of see, like, there's two sides to this story, you know? And then I started reaching out to my dad, and my mom didn't really support that. But, I mean, now I'm 18, 19, and I also can understand he could have reached out too. I'm the child, and there was no fight, there was no this and that.
Exactly. He could have and should have reached out to her. She was a kid. So Lauren's 10 and living with just her mom. Dad's now out of the picture, and this scenario continues for about 4 years.
I actually started working at 14 because my home life, I was like, no, I need money. I need to get out of here. I need to not be here.
I started working early too, but I wanted to work to help the family out and have some money. But Lauren's motivation was to escape. And who could blame her?
So high school years were the worst years and the best years of my life. My mom started dating my best friend. Our parents started dating, and it was so toxic and so unhealthy. And yet it was a male figure in my life that I've never really had consistently. So it was the best because I got that dad experience, but I also got another unhealthy relationship.
That's a double-edged sword, right? Lauren knew deep down something was wrong, but she's never seen it done right. So she was just lost.
My sophomore year, I actually attempted to commit suicide because I had all of this very unhealthy relationship. My parents did not the best things in front of me, around me, you know, so all of that unprocessed as a child into teens manifests into not being able to communicate needs and your wants.
That's just horrible. But as she said, she didn't have the skills to process and communicate. She didn't know what else to do.
I honestly thought the world would just be a better place without me.
I am so glad she wasn't successful in her attempt. But just because she didn't die doesn't mean the recovery was easy. Therapy, counseling, and a now helicopter mom refusing to let her be alone caused other issues that took years to resolve. So Lauren's now 19. She's graduated high school, and she's living with a roommate when she meets Midas. Yes, Midas. Now, I always ask my guests what I should call their ex. Some choose their real name, but most choose a pseudonym. Or they ask me to make something up along the way. But until this interview, that decision has largely been made on the fly without a lot of thought. But Lauren came prepared with the name of Midas, and then she explained where it came from.
So I was working with my coach about what to call him to kind of be empowering for myself and to not have such a negative connotation towards him. So we came up with Midas, which everything he touches turns to gold. And I'm not even going to deny, my ex is very entrepreneur mindset driven. So when he's focused and he does make it successful. And Midas can't love because everything he touches turns to gold. And in the story, he actually kills his wife. So now that he can't emotionally connect and have that compassion and that empathy. So Midas it is.
I love it. It's not disrespectful, vindictive, or slanderous. And as we're about to learn, it's just a great way to describe her ex in two syllables. So let's learn about Midas.
Midas was born in Iran. And then he came here one or two with both of his parents. And his dad has been into the United States, you know, before that. But they're all from Iran. And then his dad came here, worked, and then brought them over. And he grew up locally in Orange County. He had a very hard childhood, and his mom passed away at a really early age. And him and his dad struggled. So a lot of the hurt that he carries, I understand where it comes from. And that kind of hurt kind of followed him into his teenage years. He got in trouble, but he also overcame a lot. And I think that all of that hardship and that heartache at an early age is also what helped him be driven and motivated and, you know, have that entrepreneur mindset of just like, keep going.
Sounds like he has a lot to overcome, just like Lauren. So let's find out how they met.
He used to throw these huge parties, this entrepreneur spirit, and charge at the door, and everybody in Orange County would go to them. My roommate and I would go out and party because we're 19, 20. We would pull up Facebook and show each other who we thought was hot. And Midas was always on my list. So he had the tattoos and he was on a motorcycle with a button down. Like, I'm just like, gorgeous. And one day I went to his party and I was walking through the backyard and I saw my friends and I fell into a pool. And it was the most embarrassing thing ever. And I'm like, it's a Halloween party, so I'm dressed up and I freaking fall in the pool. And then I'm now known as the girl who fell in the pool at this whole party.
Oh no! How embarrassing! But it gets even worse because Midas saw her fall.
So, like, you know, house parties get rowdy. And he, like, stood on the table. It was such, like, an 80s movie. Stood on the table to tell everyone to be quiet. Saw me, like, pointed at me and jumped down and gave me a hug. And then it was kind of over from there.
That's actually pretty cool. That's a fun first meetup story, right? Midas and Lauren became a couple. Now you might be thinking that this is a match made in heaven. And under different circumstances, you'd be right. But do not discount their difficult childhoods.
I think that both of us resembled a lot of home life or what we were lacking in our home life. Like, I didn't have a strong man figure. I mean, Midas was just, I thought he was so sexy that he would like fight people. And he was this very male dominant, like nobody could fuck with him, top of the food chain alpha. And I didn't have that growing up.
Crap. Daddy issues. That makes sense for Lauren, but what about Midas?
I'm a very nurturing, sweet person, and he didn't have his mom, you know? So that's where I think a lot of that played into each other. It's hurt finding hurt, calling it love.
That's pretty deep. Hurt finding hurt and calling it love.
We grew up together, so we partied hard. We started working and making a lot of money, found drugs. You know, we're both hurt kids in some aspects, so we are taking it out on each other while living life together. It was toxic. Everybody knew us as the couple who, like, we loved so hard, and when we broke up, it was nasty, but everybody knew we were getting back together.
Oh, such a roller coaster of emotions. Even though I've been divorced twice, I have a hard time imagining living like that.
We drank a lot, and we would go ham, like screaming at each other. We would get into such gnarly fights. Like, cops have been called. I've had to be picked up. There's been some times where we're like out and we're young, 21 now. And we're just like, we'll be out in Huntington Beach just day drinking with friends. And we would get into a fight and he'd say, you have to leave. You can't be here. And I walked from Main Pier to the freeway until my roommates could pick me up alone because he screamed at me so much. There's a lot of like shame and guilt that goes into being publicly screamed at like that. Like, I was like a bad dog and I had to go find shelter.
At this point, both of them were partying pretty hard. Alcohol was a given, but they were both doing a bunch of drugs too.
I was a manager at a tanning salon, and that's kind of where my drug habit like really kicked up, because it was like take a Xanax to chill, but take the Adderall to sell. And it was almost like it was horrible. And then you're like shooting rock stars in the back and you're just like, your body is just going through this whole thing. I used to like rage with my district managers because it was like a weird bonding. This is how you climb your position.
So Lauren's drug habit was actually helping her climb the corporate ladder, and Midas' coke habit gave him the energy to sell like crazy. Lauren's mom had gone to Washington to clean her life up, and she did. And when she came back to Orange County, she didn't have a place big enough for Lauren to move back home. So when Lauren met Midas, she'd been couch surfing for a little while.
So, and then when we started dating, it was like, stay over. And when you don't really have anywhere else to be and you're dating somebody and they're giving you attention and it's like a body next to you, I just ended up slowly moving in, but not technically.
Now, that doesn't sound like a homosexual situation. It just sounds like Lauren would stay over sometimes. That's cool. So we already knew they partied hard together, but parties don't make a relationship.
He always paid for everything. It was, you know, like that was very early on in our relationship. And then it was like, okay, you pay for things. And I naturally fell into this nurturing, well, I'll iron your clothes for you to go to work. And he didn't have a car, so I was like waking up at 4 a.m. so he could be the first one in the office.
Okay, they're supporting each other. I think that's what couples are supposed to do.
And I think that plays a huge part in both of our codependency in each other. He needed me, I needed him in emotional, physical, mental aspects. And then it got to financial too.
Oh, I think I get it. They needed each other instead of just needing each other. That makes sense to me. After a while, Midas and Lauren are the power couple in OC. They're almost royalty.
We're 21. Life is crazy. We're partying. We're both making a lot of money, breaking up, this, that, and the other. I get pregnant.
Oh, pregnant. I don't think their party lifestyle has room for a baby. Something has to change.
Once I got pregnant, it was like we moved in. So I got pregnant, and we both know we're unhealthy, and we both know we're in situations in which no child should be born. And it was, for me, you know, I'm doing drugs, I'm drinking, I'm partying. The second I found out I was pregnant, cold turkey, nothing, never touched it ever, like ever since. I'm telling you, instantly, my whole life, my mindset, everything shifted. And then I moved in with him, and it was like a 2-bedroom apartment.
Okay. So now our couple is pregnant and officially living together. They're both working and making really good money, so at least that isn't a problem. But then Lauren quits her job because of the harmful chemicals used in the tanning industry. And maybe to get away from the people that encouraged her to use drugs at work. She also started eating organic and did everything she could to make sure her baby would be healthy. Midas supported her staying at home, even though that means he's assuming full financial responsibility for his new family.
When I got pregnant and I quit my job, he also adapted. So his mindset shifted too, where he was like, well, I don't want to work for somebody else. I don't want to build compound for somebody else. I want to build compound for me. That way, if, you know, once our daughter's older, I can make it to things and I don't have to worry about money.
Amazing. They're both totally stepping up in their own way.
He ended up leaving and starting his own business in the living room of the apartment. And I was very supportive. I went and I made him shirts with his company on it so he could feel like he's in the office. I hyped him up. I did whatever I could. And then once that started going, he started meeting the right people and then business took off. But it wasn't until maybe our daughter was 2 years old. So that 2 years, you know, we were on government help, food stamps. We were just trying to scrape enough to get by.
They're just scraping by, but they're doing it together. Life seems pretty great, despite the hardships. About 2 weeks before their daughter was due, Lauren received a text from a stranger.
This woman, I don't know, sent me a screenshot of his Tinder. And I'm 2 weeks away from having a baby. And he tried to tell me that I was so rude during the pregnancy and emotionally closed off. He was so desperate for an emotional connection. That's why he was on Tinder. And his pictures were when we were with each other. Like at a family barbecue.
Oh no. Midas is on Tinder? First, that's just wrong. Don't cheat, people. Second, Midas is like OC royalty. He's very well known and very recognizable. What the hell was he thinking? And what was his excuse?
And I was guilty of being pregnant and young and scared that I wasn't available for him.
Damn her for being pregnant. Remember, they aren't even married yet. She could have easily walked away. But she didn't. So they worked it out. And to the best of her knowledge, there was never any infidelity or attempts at infidelity after that. But this experience reminded Lauren of a chance encounter from just a few years earlier.
Once upon a time, before we even got married, I met up with this shaman at this spiritual convention, and he actually told me, he was like, you could marry this man and have as many kids as you want. He's not your soul partner. Like, you, this isn't who you're supposed to be with. And at first I'm like, okay, F that guy, you know, what does he know? I'm in charge of my life.
She brushed off the prophecy and moved forward. I think most of us would do the same. But she thinks of that shaman quite often to this day, wondering what might have been. Anyway, Lauren and Midas are settling in as a family.
Once he started working and I quit, we just were like, I'm going to be the stay-at-home and you're going to be the provider and I'll take care of the house, the food, the cooking, the cleaning, the kid. It was like this agreed rule. He supported it. Whenever I needed to go get groceries, he sent me the money.
A few weeks later, their daughter is born, and Lauren's a stay-at-home mom. As a nurturer, this suits her just fine. So they all settle into married life. Maida's business really takes off. Time to upgrade.
In 2016, we moved into a three-bedroom house because things were starting to look good. You know, his whole concept was, well, I'll just make more money. Like, making more money is not a problem. He's not a stagnant guy. He will always keep climbing.
Yeah, he seems totally driven to succeed. And he was making it happen.
We had matching Infiniti cars. And then it was, let's move to a four-bedroom house. Let's keep going. Let's buy more cars, more this. Let's rent Lambos. And it became a very fast-moving look at how great this business is. And this business grew from five men in a one-person suite office studio to a whole floor with 80 employees, like pool tables, TVs galore. It just grew.
That's awesome. Remember, both Maida's and Lauren are like 22, 23 years old at this point. There aren't too many 22-year-olds running around building companies with 80 employees and then buying their girlfriend's Infinities. It's really pretty impressive. One night, Maida's took Lauren to a restaurant on the beach and proposed. She said yes, of course. But as they discussed wedding dates, they decided to hold off in order to give Maida's time to settle a few business liabilities to make sure Lauren wouldn't become responsible for any of the outstanding issues. Smart. In 2018, they finally got married.
Our marriage was a huge celebration of our daughter, our success, making it through this, you know, the troubles of what happened with the business. Like, we really went through all highs and lows together. And that's where a lot of, like, the love and, like, I thought it was unconditional and all these things, right? Like, we've really seen each other at our absolute worst and reminded each other to get up.
Excellent. Business is good. Liabilities resolved. They've celebrated the good and the bad about their lives. So what's next? Well, their daughter is 3 years old at this point.
I'm free now. Like, I had just gotten, like, my body back. I had gotten my identity back. I wasn't having to take care of a baby. She was in school, you know? And then it's like, well, I'm ready for another baby. And I was like, well, I just got free. Like, nobody needs me right now. I don't want to. And he kind of just kept not nagging, but it was like, well, as a wife, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to, he wants another baby. So as like a wedding gift, I got pregnant, like at our honeymoon.
Lauren gives Maida's what he wants, another baby. They've gone from the party couple to the nuclear family, eating organics and living the dream, all before they're 25. Is there anything else these two can succeed at?
From there, it's like, okay, what does society tell us to do now? You know, we built the businesses, we have the house, we're showing up. We're on YouTube, we were doing the vlogging, we were really creating the social media presence of how great our relationship is, how fun, and look at all the things that we have, like power couple, right? And then that kind of took off.
Of course. They shared their perfect life online. And that's what power couples do today.
We were both doing the things that we thought we were supposed to be doing. And there was in between, no doubt, like a lot of fighting. We were emotionally connecting. We had been surviving for so long throughout each stage of our life that there were huge aspects of us that were still surviving. And that's where we bonded the most.
They fought, they loved, they connected, and through it all, they bonded. Not a perfect life, but all the boxes were checked.
Well, I had all the things that I was supposed to have. I had the husband, I had the money, I had the cars, we had the success, I had the babies, I got to be a stay-at-home. I didn't have to worry about how much groceries cost. But there was something that was nudging me that was like, there's something more.
Lauren has it all, but knows something's missing. The problem is she's never known anything different, so she had no way of knowing exactly what it was.
We got a sitter and he sat me down and he said, Lauren, this isn't going to work. This isn't working for me. All I do is I just work and it's just you and Charlotte. It's your guys' life and I'm just paying for it.
Now, I totally understand Maida's feeling this way. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it makes sense. Because he's working his ass off, he really can't know how hard it is to be a stay-at-home mom. All he knows is that he's working his ass off while Lauren is at home, seemingly enjoying life. I'll bet that's more common than we think. Now, Lauren has to make a choice. She can get defensive and tell him how hard it is to be a stay-at-home mom, knowing it will just start a fight, or she can try to solve the issue.
Something's not working for me if my man is feeling that way. Something I'm doing isn't good enough, so let me heal and change myself to get to the root, you know, the root cause of why does he feel this way. Maybe I'm pushing him away and I don't even know it.
Well, okay. She decides to get to the root of the issue. I wish everyone reacted this way when confronted with this type of situation.
Hey guys, this is Jill from OurDivorce.com. Pretty much everyone has either been through a crazy divorce or knows somebody else who has. When Tom and I designed OurDivorce.com, we knew it wouldn't work for everyone. We knew that there would still be people out there who'd rather pay their attorney to send an email to their soon-to-be ex's attorney threatening to go to court over the blunder. We didn't build OurDivorce.com for those people. We designed OurDivorce.com for divorcing couples who are willing to compromise and who, instead of spending money on an attorney, would rather just get it done while using OurDivorce's quick, easy, and intuitive process. So you have a couple of choices if you're thinking of divorce. You can choose to spend thousands of dollars hoping you win in court after years of fighting. Or you can go to OurDivorce.com, follow our three-step process at your own pace, then print, sign, and file with the courts, all for just $299. Seems like a no-brainer to me. So visit OurDivorce.com and click Get Started to access the most effective, easy-to-use, and comprehensive online divorce solution available today.
At this point, as part of their business, Lauren and Midas attended frequent mastermind meetings to learn new business tactics and to meet the right people to help grow their business. Over time, they became friends with some of the regulars. One woman in particular befriended Lauren. Now, this woman had overcome some bad shit through an extensive program and had then become a life coach to help others. Lauren saw something special in this woman and wanted to know more about the program.
I would leave Orange County and fly to Seattle once a month for a year and go through this very intense personal development journey. And through that, so it's like weekly coaching, you're constantly digging through your childhood, how it shows up in your life, what's affecting you.
That does sound intense, but she wanted it bad.
She talked me into this program. And this is the first thing that I have ever done in our entire relationship that was solely just for me. And even then I had to sell him on it.
I'll bet she had to sell him. I mean, how does a stay-at-home mom of two, their honeymoon baby is about one at this point, take that much time away from the kids? Especially since Midas is at the office so much.
So I was like, you know what? I can pump. Women go to work all the time having babies. I can go travel for one weekend. You can watch the kids for one weekend. Like, you can do it. And it was life or death for me. I said, we need to charge whatever credit cards we need to. I have to do this. And I was so convincing. He was like, okay, let's make it happen. You know, he was very supportive. We used as many resources just to get me going.
These two aren't perfect people. None of us are, right? But they're both doing what they believe is right for the marriage and for the kids. Now, Midas took a little convincing, but ultimately supported Lauren's decision and agreed to move his schedule around so she could fly to Seattle every month. Normally, there's an obvious villain in our stories. Someone to be mad at or even to hate. But not today. At least not yet. So Lauren starts her healing journey with Midas' support. But don't forget her goal when starting this journey.
Something I'm doing isn't good enough, so let me heal and change myself.
So did it work?
That's where things started to get really, really tough between Midas and I, because I was communicating my needs and he wasn't meeting up to what I was asking for.
What the hell? That's not what's supposed to happen. What went wrong? Simple. The program uncovered a lot of issues from her childhood. Remember, Lauren knew things were messed up in her childhood, but she didn't know anything different, so the yelling, fighting, and abuse was normal for her. And she'd begun to learn how that affected her in adult life.
I have a huge problem asking for help. Like, I'm a pushover. I'm a doormat. I'm all these things, right? Like, I will just do whatever I need to do to keep the peace, because back at home when I was a kid, that's what I did. I walked on eggshells. If you were breathing wrong, I knew not to ask for certain things. If we're out at the grocery store, you know, like, it's very, the conditioning that you do receive at home really does show up as an adult.
So Lauren stopped being a doormat.
I need to ask for help around the house. I need to ask for time to go out where it's just me. And showering and going to the grocery store is not free mom time. That is not something that should be rewarded. I'll watch the kids so you can just shower and take a bath. Like, to me, that is a human hygiene practice. Like, you know, going to the grocery store where I'm having to buy food for everybody, that's not relaxing.
Midas isn't liking where this is going at all.
When somebody starts fighting back, asking for things that they haven't asked you for in seven, eight years, that's a problem, because now the ecosystem of how we've built our foundation is shifting.
Lauren was learning so much. And even though it was causing issues at home, she couldn't stop. She was rediscovering herself.
I was not Lauren for a very long time. I was Midas's girlfriend, Midas's fiance, Midas's wife, Charlotte's mom. You know, I was never Lauren.
After I'd been married to my first wife for about 7 years or so, I woke up realizing that I wasn't myself and hadn't been myself for years. I realized that my entire personality had changed to satisfy what my wife wanted me to be. At one point, I was having dinner with my brother and told him that I felt like Plastic Tom, both because I'd been molded into something by someone else and because I was artificial. I vowed to find myself again. She didn't like it. Lauren's in a similar bind.
I was a complete stranger to myself, and I was like, I woke up and all of a sudden I'm a mom of two, married, running this house, supporting my husband. How did I get here? Where did all of that time even go? What life was I living? Like, is this my life? Do I want any of this stuff?
I want to stress here again that Midas was just doing what he thought was right and what they both wanted. Big house, cars, fancy restaurants. But now Lauren's realizing that wasn't what she wanted at all.
I'm like 25, 26 when we hit like our highest. That's a really young age to have a lot of money and a family and the cars. And I can understand too the responsibility he had on his shoulders to pay these bills. Mind you, this is his dream, you know. He wants to have the cars and the house and the family and all that stuff. So it's like, I understand that's a lot of pressure for him too. Just as much as I had the home, he had the financial burden to make sure that when I swiped my card, there was money. I get it. I really do understand. And there was just, I wanted to swipe cards that had my money on it. You know, I wanted to buy him something that his money didn't have any attachment to. I wanted it to be for me. Now I'm asking questions. Now I'm wanting financial, I want to be in the know with our finances. Where are we getting this money? What bank account is it going to? How do we pay for our bills? Now I'm asking questions. Now I'm saying, no, I'm going to go out with my girlfriends. No, I want date nights. I want this to be a priority. I want to make my own money so I feel good as a person.
Lauren finishes the program and becomes a life coach to help others rediscover themselves and to make her own money and feel good about herself. Amazing. But how does Midas feel about this new development?
Well, because our whole relationship dynamic was I did everything, he made money. And in me doing everything, now I'm with two kids in a house. Like, I'm on my worst days, I'm drowning, I'm depressed, I have all this pressure. I'm trying to work on myself to better myself for our kids. I'm trying to take on clients. I'm trying to create financial independence just so I can, you know, have that confidence of making my own money. And it just really threw a drift in our relationship. And that's kind of when things started to take a turn. He used to say, like, you don't need me. And it's like, that's the point, babe. Like, I don't need you. I want you.
Damn, not good. Not good at all. Around this time, there was a temporary but serious business setback, which required the business to declare bankruptcy. They agreed to rebuild the business using her credit, so they incurred a lot of debt in her name. Maybe that was Lauren's attempt to show her support.
When I was starting to work and demanding my financial identity for myself, I was also saving money just in case, because I knew I rely on him financially. If I were to ever want a break, need space, what money am I going to use? He's going to cut me off instantly. So I started stacking.
While it's sad that Lauren's having to think this way, planning her possible exit, I totally get it. In fact, while it may sound harsh or even hateful, I suggest everyone listening to the show right now should have a little something put aside just in case. I know. Your marriage is perfect, and you'll never need the rainy day fund. I didn't need one either. Twice. But it's your decision.
We were doing the whole COVID thing. He was home, and that's where, like, COVID really did shine a light on who are you married to? Like, who are you with? You guys are stuck in a house, and I'm going batshit nuts because now I've taken him on and I'm cleaning up and I'm cooking all this food and it's just me and I'm laundry and the floors and the kids and I have to keep them both quiet because he's working and now his dad's over and I'm entertaining his dad and I can't even relax in my own home, which I've been used to as a stay at home. I have fully automated the house to where him being home was now a burden. Him being home was a problem because he's in my way. I don't need him to make breakfast. You know, he hadn't really put the kids to bed. He wasn't really there when they woke up, taking the dog out. I didn't need him anymore as I'm going through the coaching program and therapy. And when you're able to control somebody's every single move and aspect for 7-8 years, and all of a sudden it's blatantly obvious they don't need you, I can imagine that could be a little scary. As I was building my coaching practice, his work was getting busier. He couldn't be home. He had to go to this course and do that. So it got to a point where I was having to hang up with clients because there was a crying baby in the other room. And even though he was home, he was working. So his work meant more than mine. And I ended up having to cancel all clients. I went back to just having to be fully available.
That sucks. It was just too hard on both of them. So they fell back into their old patterns. Midas brought in the money and Lauren took care of the home front. I feel bad for him. Even though Midas was supportive at the start, I'm pretty sure he's regretting it now. Everything changed. And even though they've fallen back into their former traditional gender roles, Midas obviously felt threatened.
We went on this camping trip and it was the worst trip, a 2-week camping trip in Powell, the most beautiful place I've ever been in. And when I got... Yeah. It was beautiful. We got the boat. We got the Sea-Doo. We went camping with some, you know, our couple friends. And I did everything. I put the tent up. I broke it down. I made the tent nice. And he told me that I was taking away the manhood of putting up the tent. And I'm like, then do it. Then do something.
His Tinder account was a shit move, and his excuse was bullshit. But this is just petty. I get it, though. His role as the man was just threatened by Lauren's rediscovery of herself. And now she's better at camping? I'd feel bad for him if it weren't so easy for him to do something different. Like Lauren said, do something. It's not complicated.
I'm a creative person, so I started getting to art to express myself. And then it was like, he's a businessman. So he's like, we got to monetize off of this. We have to make money. You got to do this, that, the other. And I was like, okay, you know what? Sounds good because I can sell some art and call it a day. But then it was, well, I'm working. So you don't have that free time to go make art, take the kids with you, have them. And it's like, you know, so anytime I started to get that independence or that feeling of where I'm losing track of time and I'm in the zone, I was stacked on with, well, you can't actually do that because my work is more important and I'm the one who's paying for the bills. So you just need to, we need to go back to that ecosystem.
So close. They almost found a way to satisfy both of their needs. She could do her artwork and he could help monetize it, and so they could both win. It would have been perfect, but it didn't happen. That's when Lauren decided to push forward.
He didn't like a lot of the boundaries I was setting, and we would get into fights over that because I knew they weren't right. I knew it. Things just kept getting worse. There were a lot of manipulating and emotional abuse. There was a lot of degrading and name calling and fights in front of the kids, and things were said and done that it was too much like my home growing up.
At this point, Lauren knows she has to do something. She cannot allow her kids to grow up in an environment like the one she knew growing up. She doesn't want to leave Midas. She loves him.
It's so hard to leave when you still love them, but sometimes you have to choose yourself. And if you have to choose yourself and you lose a lover, I don't really think that was true love, because I should have been able to choose myself throughout the marriage and not have to leave.
What a horrible place to be. I feel so bad for both of them. But Lauren's mind was made up, so she started coaching again and suggested, or begged, Midas to join her on the journey.
I was like, look, I'm leveling up emotionally. I'm leveling up with my confidence and my communication. You need to do something too, because I'm going. I would love for you to be there with me. And if you don't, that will leave us no choice. And I will have to leave you. And he was like, okay, like, what do we need to do?
It's too bad that it got to the point that Lauren had to threaten to leave. But again, Midas is willing to do what it takes to save their marriage. His response is perfect. If your spouse suggests couples counseling, therapy, or coaching, we should all be prepared to respond exactly how Midas responded.
And we started couples coaching.
To be clear, this wasn't couples or marriage counseling. This was couples coaching done online, so they weren't in the same room. This allowed them to have those really hard conversations.
It was really beautiful for our relationship. Like, I can't even deny that, because now there was that middle person to say, hey, Midas, it's not your turn right now. Listen to what she's saying, but don't listen to her words. Like, there's something underneath. Let's get there.
I love it. They both clearly love each other and want this to work, right?
He would, you know, every now and again, he would follow through with some of the practices. It's difficult too, because I chose to level up. I chose to become who I was. He was forced, because I gave him an ultimatum.
She's right. She chose to level up. Midas didn't. At this point of our interview, I interrupted Lauren's story and told her there's no way this was going to be successful, and told her the story of Benjamin Franklin's 13 virtues. She wasn't familiar with the story, so I've decided to tell it here as well. When Benjamin Franklin was a young man, he wrote a list of 12 virtues that, if mastered, would make a man morally perfect. He decided that trying to work on all 12 simultaneously would be overwhelming, and he'd likely give up. So instead, he decided to work on one virtue for a week at a time, and then move on to the next virtue on his list, and so on, repeating this pattern for the rest of his life. He set up a chart that he'd carry with him everywhere to help remind him of that week's virtue, and would take notes on his failures and would give himself a grade at the end of each day and then at the end of each week. After a time, he shared his idea and his progress with a Quaker friend of his, who suggested, quite forcefully, that Franklin was arrogant and prideful, and he convinced Franklin to add humility to his list of virtues. Toward the end of his life, as he wrote his autobiography, which I highly recommend to everyone, he admitted that humility was the hardest virtue for him to master. While he believed he'd achieved the appearance of being humble wasn't in his nature. And more importantly, since humility wasn't his idea and was sort of forced on him, it wasn't as important to him as the other 12 virtues. So it comes as no surprise that Midas half-assed his way through the program. I don't know much about their specific coach or program, but I know that if both parties don't take it seriously, it's a waste of time. But it sounds like Lauren's hoping for the best while planning for the worst. I think by this point, she sees the writing on the wall because, frankly, it had almost become a matter of life or death for her.
There's nothing now holding me to this man. I can't take it anymore. I'm not breathing my own air. I'm not thinking my own thoughts. I look at myself. I don't know who I am. the life has been sucked out of me over all of this. And I see that I'm just a shell, and this like this very dim light of a soul is still in me. And it was like, I either drive off of a cliff after school drop off, or I leave my marriage.
Lauren needed space to breathe.
I need a break. I need you to stay at work. Because now things, he's kind of shifted from marketing to e-commerce, and things are blowing up. Like the online space, he was so smart with everything that he did online that he, you know, he set himself up with this other business, and that meant more time away from home. That meant more desperation and not being loved and attended to and appreciated for what I've been doing. And I just said, I need you to stay at the office.
Fortunately, his office had a great setup, so he could basically live there. And again, Midas came through the best way he could.
Whatever you need space, that's fine. And then it turned into, well, how long of time do you need away? And I said, a week. A week later, we're on our couples call, and I said, I need a month. I can't. Now I'm breathing my own air and thinking my own thoughts, and it's all hitting me like a brick wall. Lauren, this is not right. Like, I'm heartbroken because I love him so much. And I realize I'm not even getting bare minimum. I'm begging. I'm desperate. I'm pleading.
No one should have to beg for the bare minimum.
Midas was like, look, if you need a year, let's take a year break. We'll separate. We'll do our own things. And we'll come back in a year and assess. And I said, no, I'm sure. This is what I have to do. Because I knew in that year time what he would do financially, because I've seen him do it with a few businesses prior.
Yeah, she's done.
I forced him for months, and we just kept having hard conversation after hard conversation. And I wasn't even trying to change him. In my mindset, now I see how it's kind of like, you need to change. Everything about you is wrong. So I get it. In my mind, I was just like, you deserve to level up. You deserve to not be afraid of your hurt and your pain from your past. Like, you deserve this. I want you to be the best version of yourself. And here I am on this road. Join me. So I know that what led up to the divorce was I had been dedicating intensely for a few years before I said, it's your turn and you have to do it. You know, like, it's not his fault. It didn't work out. It's not my fault. It's just what happened.
Exactly. It's not his fault. It's not her fault. They both did what they thought was right, and it didn't work. So during their next coaching session, she made an announcement.
I told him I want a divorce. And he looked at me, and we're on a call with our coach as I'm telling him this very intense thing, because I know if I tell him in person what that means for me. And it's not good. Because based off of it could have been physical. I was looking out for my physical safety because there's, you know, as when we were younger, it never got physical, but it got really close to where bodies were touching, and I was like cornered and doors were slammed and shoved, and, you know, and then once we had a daughter, everything, all of that toxic subsided and it became a new intellectual, emotional toxic, if that makes sense. So I knew everything that he was going to do. And that's why I had to do it when he wasn't home. I had to do it with a third party. And I had to start saving money.
And there it is. No matter how long it takes, someone has to say the quiet part out loud. And it's not easy. It takes courage. Remember, at this point, Midas has done his best. He gave her space, he tried the coaching program, and did as well as should be expected. In short, he hasn't been the villain of the story.
He's like, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want? And when I said yes, it was like everything shut down in him. And that's kind of where we still are to this day.
Oh, that sucks. What does she mean, shut down? Well, for starters, remember all that business debt that's in her name?
Well, all of the debt is under your name, so you have to pay for it.
That's a dick move, Midas. Your status as a villain just creeped up a notch. After Lauren hired an attorney, this is how he responded when she asked for grocery money for their children.
He said, oh, you got the attorneys? Well, I can't give you that money now because now that has to go towards attorney fees. And I was overnight poor as fuck. No income. Like, shitting bricks.
That's another dick move, Midas. No wonder Lauren is shitting bricks. This is like a riches to rags story that shouldn't have to be.
I'm buying organic apples and not eating them because I can. Like, I got to be very bougie. I didn't worry about lights. I didn't worry about any of that. And now here I am with two kids shitting bricks. And he blatantly told me, you're not my responsibility anymore. And I was just heartbroken that how could this man that I love so, so deeply, like I left him in love with him and he's doing this. And I knew he would. That's why the attorneys and all that stuff. So why I was saving money. I saved enough to get me by for just a little bit. But when I tell you I'm in debt right now to this day, I'm in fucking debt. I've got attorney bills up the yin yang. It's heartbreaking. Even now, like the grieving process of the divorce, it's taken me a lot to get over the fact that I had financially struggled the way that I have. And I've asked him for help. There's been times where I was like, I need help with groceries. Like, how am I going to buy diapers? How am I going to do all this? And it wasn't his problem anymore.
By the way, their divorce isn't final. They're still working on it. But you want to guess how much she owes her attorneys already?
I'm going to say, like, we're coming up over $100,000 in just attorney fees. Because I've had to hire specialists to dig through paperwork, to dig through following certain aspects of our marriage.
But that's not all.
$100,000 is just the attorneys. That's not even some of the experts I've had to hire. And that's separate from the money I've been borrowing from my mom. And then the debt that it was acquired during our marriage that I'm stuck with, I'm probably really close to $300,000 just in debt. That's on me right now.
I don't like being in debt. And here's poor Lauren with over $300,000 looming over her. That would crush my soul. Lauren has a much better attitude than I would.
If I didn't go through these from bougie to broke to happy, I wouldn't be happy. I have to budget for groceries and I can still eat healthy. I just can't eat out now. You know, it went from Disneyland every day to we're going on a hike and we're going to have an amazing time in nature. So there's such beautiful aspects of being cut off and having to grow up in these ways. But it's like I healed in front of my babies. I healed. They heard me cry. They watched me fall in the kitchen because I couldn't stand. And I'm happy. That's the crazy part, is that I have my peace. We dance in the living room. We sometimes have breakfast for dinner. You know, like, it's so happy and home. So in all of that stuff, I would trade it all just so I can freely move in my home and have my kids see a happy, thriving mom. I'm emotionally available to raise my kids to be healthy and happy and to feel safe in their home, you know? And that was like, I saw this quote on TikTok that said, be careful who you make feel like home when home was never safe to begin with. And I made Midas my home. Where he went, I went. If it was down in the dirt, I was down in the dirt. If it was high in the sky, I was right there. Like, he was my identity. And in retrospect, when you think of my home life and what I experienced, it's not a compliment.
Incredible. Finding herself is truly priceless. Another thing she's found is her support system.
I have an amazing support system that I would not trade money for. And that's where I always tell people, I was willing to risk the comfort of the Orange County bougie life for my happiness. I lost every single one of our friends. I've been exiled from different communities and groups, and I'm the bad guy. And honestly, I've ran into family members of his side, and they ignore me like they haven't known me for the past 9 years.
She made sure to tell me of one very notable exception.
And I love his dad. His dad is heavily present in my life to this day. Like, he helps me with the kids. Anytime I'm like, you know, I need a break, can you come over? He's over. He cooks for me. He, like, we are so close to this day.
Now, that's awesome. Midas Sr. sounds like a great man. I'd like to meet him someday.
He can have all the friends. He can stay in all the groups. He can keep everything. He can keep his status, all of that, because I wouldn't trade the peace and my sanity for anything.
Midas keeps the business and the money, and Lauren keeps the debt, her support system, and her sanity. Doesn't seem right to me, but my opinion here doesn't matter. It's all about how she deals with it going forward.
The only thing that I would change is I just want him and I to be okay. And it's taken a lot of work to realize I'm not going to get the dream. I'm not going to get the co-parenting relationship that I crave for my kids. I'm just not. And that's been the hardest thing, because I can be around him and show my kids that, hey, it's okay, no matter the pain and the hurt that I have gone through. And it's just, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. It probably won't happen. And that's a bigger tragedy than the divorce itself, because Midas is robbing his own children of the opportunity to see parents who can work together through difficult situations. He's teaching them to treat others like shit. Not cool. Lauren has promised to stay in touch, so I'll provide updates as I get them. As always, I asked Lauren for her best advice, and as our guests always do, she came through with some really great stuff.
Pay attention to the red flags. How, and I give a pretty set date of 4 months. What is it like within those 4 months? When you fight, what is that like? When you're happy, how happy? How deep are your conversations? What is money like? What is not having money like? It's really, for me, that is what I give. You got 4 months. And our first 4 months were volatile. They were crazy. And that's where it's like all of those flags in the very beginning ultimately were the same ones why I couldn't stay anymore. So in my perspective, in my experience, red flags are red. And you can't put white, you can't paint them white and change what they are.
Yep. No matter how hard we all try, you can't change the color of red flags. If you liked her advice, you may want more of it. If so, here's Lauren explaining what she's doing to help others.
I help women find their identity. Whether you're in the marriage, whether you're not, whether you're a boyfriend, whether you're single, you're struggling and you know that there's something more inside of you. I'm there to just support you and create practices and accountability and listen to the underneath what's actually stopping you. And who knows, you find the man of your love or the man of your life, or you leave, whichever. It's ontological coaching. So it gets you back to your being. So you shed everything on the outside and you get to your core, and that's where you make decisions from. And that's what the coaching training was. That's what I took that led me into therapy. It all just starts when you know you need to love yourself, but you don't know how. Hire somebody.
Even more great advice. Now, you can follow Lauren on TikTok at LaurenYeck_. There's a link in her bio for a free one-on-one coaching session. So if you need help finding yourself, I'd say that's a great place to start. If you liked that story, please be sure to tell the world by giving us a 5-star rating on whatever app you're using to listen to the show. It really does help. Also, if you have a crazy divorce story and would like to be a guest on the show, just visit mycrazydivorce.com and click on the apply to be a guest button. I'd love to hear from you. A big thank you to our sponsor, ourdivorce.com, for sponsoring this week's episode of My Crazy Divorce. If you or someone you know is planning to get divorced, just go to ourdivorce.com and click on the get started button today. It costs nothing unless the process works for you, so there's no risk. And if it does work for you, the total cost is $299. I want to thank Lauren for taking the time out of her busy coaching schedule to share her story with us. And finally, I want to thank all of you for listening. I love putting these shows together, so I hope we continue to grow so it's all worth it. That's the show for this week. Have a great time, everyone.
imagination brings a smile.